today is the last Saturday we'll be meeting this year. Of course, years are always arbitrary. But I thought I would talk a little bit about our practice. Isn't this pretty?
Yes.
One of my graduate students is a Jodoshin minister, and he went to do another training in Kyoto, and he brought this back. I think when we reach the end of the year, it's good to stop and consider what we're doing, right? What are we doing? I mean, the end of the year is kind of arbitrary, isn't it? Like, every day is the end of the year, the beginning of a new year. But there's something about this time of year. It's the solstice, which means the light is returning now. It's dark. We have these dates that we call January 1st, December 31st. So it's an opportunity to stop and say, what are we doing? How are we living? How do we want to live? And we can take, and I encourage you to take time to stop and reflect and recognize what is and call forth what can be. I think this is important. I think it's important for us to stop. We are so often busy, 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 making, doing. So the question is, when do we listen? And we listen so that we might hear, truly hear. So we say this over and over again, now is the time, not later, not next year. Now, this is always true, but these holidays kind of call us to remember. When we talk about listening, the act of listening occurs in us. Yeah. Hearing happens in us. Sound is only perceptible to us because we have these tiny little bones in our ears, right? That vibrate in response to what we call sound waves. Oscillations in the air. And these little bones vibrate in such a way that our brains can translate and understand. It's all just magical that we're built this way. We're built for this world. We're not built for another world. We're built for this world. We are co-created with this world. So much is beyond our perception. You know, we don't hear the same way whales hear or hummingbirds hear. We live in a world of sound that we can't know. Sometimes you can feel it. You know, I remember when I was young and I went to Fillmore. You know, that, I think it's one of the reasons I'm wearing hearing aids now. Like, you know, the body's like... Wah, 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 wah. How many of you have ever been in a situation like that? Okay. The hearing aid people will be... But we live in a world of sound that we can't hear. We don't hear the same as whales. We're limited. We are limited. But there's much we can know. And we can take the time to perceive with our bodies and minds what is available to us. If we stop and listen with our bodies, with our minds, what is available to us. We listen to the sounds of birds. I just got hearing aids recently, so I'm hearing new things again. Some of which, you know, like air blowers and stuff. I'm like, whoa, okay. The ocean, the sound of our neighbor's TV, cars on the street, human voices. All of these things we can hear if we are built. If we can, if our ear organ is functioning. But we can also listen with the ear of the heart. Brother David Stendelrast, a wonderful Benedictine monk, has written a lot on this. It says, we listen with the ear of the heart. And we listen with the ear of the open and flexible mind. Our senses are limited. Our minds and hearts are limited too. But that very limitation is what opens us to others. With that sense of limitation, we take a posture of humility, of the earth. Humus. We don't float above the earth as some alternate being. We're on the ground. This is a dignified posture. Humility has dignity to it, not arrogance. So, with this sense of humility and dignity, we build bridges. Not with the certainty of set ideas, but with humility. We admit our limitations to ourselves and we take a posture. We take Zazen posture, upright. We walk with other beings. Each moment new, each encounter an invitation to something wider and deeper than our ideas about it. So this is the spirit of the new year. Yeah, this is the spirit we want to bring to every moment of our lives. Every moment is a new year. And what's a year? You know, we've been studying time. You know, time is like this flexible event. But with this attitude, this new year, we participate with all beings in this creation of reality. Some of you know that Shinshu and I were at the American Academy of Religion conference a few weeks ago. There's about 10,000 people there. It's all people that are involved with the study of religion and all of its complexity. And sometimes I or we go to a session because it's a person we know and respect, sometimes to support a colleague. Sometimes for me, it's a session I need to attend for work, but it's all good. And one scholar I admire quite a bit, his name is Charles Halsey, and he's a professor at Harvard, a deeply thoughtful man. And the session at which he was the respondent, that's a role of responding to papers, was on repetition in Buddhist literature. Sounds boring, right? Does it sound boring? If you saw something that said repetition in Buddhist literature, you'd be like, oh, snooze time. But I knew that it was Charles. And so I thought, well, there's going to be something interesting. So we listened to three excellent papers on Dogen, on the use of citations as a way of enacting lineage, and in the embedded dimension of textual study. And Charles came back to this basic question. Is repetition even possible? Is it even possible? Aren't we always doing something new? Our creative response is additive. It's a contribution. Always, we're in response. Always. if I say, I love you, and my beloved says, I love you too, is that a repetition? Is it new? Isn't there an intimate dialogue between these two realities? And isn't that something new and interdependent? We say the same words. Shinshu and I were just down at Tassajara at a Shuso ceremony of a dear friend, someone we've known for many, many decades. And this ceremony is the beginning of formal teaching. And it's scripted. You do the same thing, you carry the stick around, you do certain bows, and everybody does this thing together. And every time it's completely new, because the human beings that are doing it are completely new, right? This is the way our life works. If we sing an old standard song, or chant the Heart Sutra, we could say it is a repetition, right? But it's not. It's completely new. And yet, it's both new and old. It is carrying on this deep stream of continuous practice, continuous reality. It is an echo of what has been, and it is sending forth a reality that's completely new. Each configuration of bodies, each breath, each tone is completely new and not. So there's this weaving in of new breath, new body, new reality in each moment. The holidays, right? We have this repeating cycle of the year, but each time it's completely new. So this is creativity. This is cultivation. This is transmission. This is repetition. This is listening. So we approach the end of the year, we hopefully attend with this creativity, this cultivation, this welcoming. The new year, same year, new year, same year. We think, what is old? What is new? We take the time to reflect, what do I want to grow? What do I want to bring to a close? How can I cultivate the spirit of practice in my life in each moment without fixed ideas, but with vigor and grace and gratitude? These choices, these thoughts, this kind of reflection is a reflection of the continuous practice of our lives. It is the heart of the way, in a way, this attitude of curiosity, of openness. All beings together, each moment. To practice Zen, you must let go of goofy notions. Okay? Remember that. You must let go of goofy notions. So, how many of you thought you knew or still think you know what Zen practice is? Anybody willing to admit it?
Trick question.
Huh? It is, but it's a good one to ask ourselves, you know? How do we come fresh to each moment? We have robes and we have Buddha statues, we have chants and forms, and these are not simply expedients to get you somewhere you think you want to go. Well, I don't want to do that, or I want to do this, or this is not. And it's okay. you know, we have to dialogue with the tradition and ask questions and test things out. But all of this are not simply expedients. They are alive with the generous spirit of care. They guide and support us. They call us into a wise and kind relationship with reality. They call us into a relationship in which we know we are that reality. Right? Fresh, each moment. We think of ourselves as this encrusted being, you know. Our karma, our definitions, our reality is like, ooh, you know, we just can barely move. But that's not who we are. It includes that, but we are more than that. And this is what all of these forms, like, hello? Can you wake up to that? A zazen, hello? Yeah. So in Zen practice, we listen to each aspect of our world and we act together. We know that each moment is new, completely new, even as it is also shot through with past and future. And our participation matters. It absolutely matters. Over and over again, we say hello to our neighbor, we chant the Heart Sutra, we go to work, we bow. We repeat things over and over and over again, and yet, what is repetition? It's life living itself. A reality that includes past and future. Each time new. New each moment, each year, each day. So as we go into the new year, let us consider this. How is each moment new for you? How is each encounter new for you? Are you willing to let it be new for you? Are you willing to see the person in front of you as new? How does what you have known, what you trust, guide your response? How do we weave together what is known, loved, and trusted in a fresh and luminous way? And this is not woo-woo, right? This is like hello to the barista. This is going to work and greeting people. This is how you relate to your body. This is what the Buddhists and ancestors are asking us to do. This is, I think, the challenge of the new. To weave what is known into what is unknown. And to be open to what comes alive in each moment. This is a creative process. A process that demands the best of us. That demands that we ask what is really needed in our lives, in our world, right now. We say just to be is enough. But how are we? How? That's our question. Are we asleep? Are we looking over our shoulder to see what others think, driven by a need to be special, filling our days with activities that we think will tell us who we are? All that is a waste of time, right? We know this. Colossal waste of time. And yet, there we are. We're humans. We're absolutely humans. And doing that over and over again, we return to humus, we return to the earth. So when we return, when we return over and over again, we commit ourselves to a path of dignity and grace and humility, and we join with others. We're not floating above reality, we're in reality. There's a poem by Soen Nakagawa Roshi that I particularly love in this regard. He says, "Vast emptiness. As the year comes to a close, I re-enter the mountain. Vast emptiness. Vast dynamic reality. As the year comes to the close, I re-enter the mountain." So our question is, how do we re-enter the mountain? The mountain of our own awakening, our own lives, our own dignity, our own engagement. Take the time to consider this. And notice that we are re-entering the mountain. This mountain of our awakening is not new to us. It is our home. And yet it is new in each moment that we return, that we repeat, that we return, is new. It's a repetition of what is, and it's completely fresh. We just need to turn and look and take one step. It is there. It may not look spectacular, right? We like, you know, it's like we show this Buddha. We show movies here together, watch movies together a few times a year. And there's a movie called The Story of Buddha. So anyway, and at one point, it's pretty good. You know, and then at one point, they get to his awakening. Well, how are they going to portray this? So they get like really psychedelic about it. All these lights and, you know. But mostly our life is not, you know, like strobe lights and flowers falling out of the sky, right? It's a smile. It's having a little patience with the person in the walk, using the walker in front of you. It's taking care of your garden. It's paying attention to that which is so often unseen in our world, the people that are unseen, the beings that are unseen. It's just there. It's not spectacular in the way we usually think. But isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? Do we need more than that? We say, pay attention. When I was doing the ritual that Shinshu and I have both done at our monastery, our head monastery in Japan, Eheiji, and it was long rituals, and I was really tired when we were leaving, and I had come in the day before and put my shoes away, and everybody was waiting for me, and I couldn't find my shoes. And the priest that was guiding us through it, they call me Doyo in Japan. It's my second time. Doyo-san, pay attention. Oh, how embarrassing, right? So ever since then, his voice is in my head. Doyo-san, pay attention. And we want to remember that, right? Remember. Pay attention. Not so that you can be a perfect practitioner. We say, don't set up standards on your own. Well, guaranteed you're going to do it. You're going to set up standards. You say, well, this is a real practitioner. I can sit full lotus, or I can be endlessly patient, or fill in the blanks. But that's not the point. The point is to see, hear, taste, touch, realize reality. This dynamic, interdependent newness that arrives in each moment, and to be transformed by it, to be touched by it. There is no repetition, right? And you learn that through repetition. You say, come back, come back, come back. But who arrives back is not the who that left. And we know this. We pay attention. If we're alive in this posture of inquiry and trust and engaged and awake and responsive, and then we go to sleep, right? We go to sleep, we get cranky, it's all part of it. Again and again and again and again. This is what we do over, this is our practice. It's both very ordinary and very spectacular, I must admit. So I encourage you, especially this time of year, to take some time for reflection. Attend to what you're grateful for, what you're given in each moment. Attend to your deepest intentions. Write them out with an eye towards what is. It's not about lofty resolutions. That's fine. This is about humble and earthy intentions. Then make it real for yourself. Like Zazen. You know that failure is inevitable, right? But as one of my teachers told me, failure Zen, that's the ticket. That's alive with possibility. Failure is not an excuse to run for the exit, right? Because, you know what, there is no exit. Failure is an opportunity to land on the earth, look around, be with all beings over and over and over again, and there was the spirit of what we might call holy repetition. So this is the simple, ordinary, luminous life that's available to us in every moment. I have a few words to say about our New Year's Eve event here, but I'll stop right there for now.